A few weeks ago we had a wrap regarding women and relationships. And I was speaking to the young men regarding women. I feel like this is the time regarding men and relationships. So let's talk a little bit, and I'm going to talk to the young women regarding men and relationships. Like, what do you look for? What should a man be? I'm talking to really everybody who's willing to listen. But what should a man be? And what should a woman look for? Now, when I say what a woman should look for, I'm not saying this man has these characteristics, therefore I will marry him. That's not how that decision is made. Marriage for both men and women has to be the result of a call into that marriage. Okay? So if I am married to somebody, I have to know that I have heard from God. Now, let's say that I hear from God and the person refuses. It's possible. For whatever reason, maybe it was right and they refused. Because perhaps carnality. Or unbelief or whatever. Then God will take care of that person, the other person. God will simply take care of them. And God will not penalize the innocent party for the mistake of someone else. That can happen. And that sometimes does happen. Because it is a union of two individuals. And each of those individuals stands or falls before God. A man cannot go up to a young woman and say, God told me to marry you. Ladies, if a guy ever just comes up to you and says, God told me to marry you, and he hasn't spoken to you, don't be unkind, but, you know, forget it. If God didn't tell you to marry him, no. No. And you go to your pastor before you go to him. I mean, you don't have this. And guys, this pertains to this. A lot of this pertains really to both genders, but I'm addressing women right now. You don't go to the other person, arrange it, get engaged, and then say, Pastor, what do you think of this? Well, it's, the deed is done. What does it matter what I think of it? Right? Then the pastor might say, well, okay, but I'm not going to marry you. And 9 times out of 10, that's not going to happen. But it can happen. And it's not to build the pastor so much as it is the pastor wants to know before God that this is right. So what do you do? And this isn't like a legalistic thing either. Don't misunderstand or lording it over. It's not at all what I mean. But I mean, stay covered. Stay covered. God gave you a pastor, whether you're a woman in my church or whether you're a woman in somebody else's church, God gave you a pastor. You stay covered by that pastor. A single woman is covered, if she is an adult, she is covered under the covering of her pastor. And she is covered by the pastor she is called to. Pastors are not interchangeable. She can't say, oh, there's a pastor, I'll ask him. That's not how it works. If you are part of the Church of the Open Door, that's a good church, and you are a woman, you don't come to me and ask me what I think of you getting married. You go to the pastor at the Church of the Open Door, and that pastor will be your covering because that's where you're called. By the way, get this straight. And this is a principle I think more for the internet than for here because you guys have it straight. You are called to a specific pastor. Right? You are called to a specific pastor. You are called to a specific church and you're called to a specific geographical area. You're not called to some place and then say, oh, I'll find something when I get there. That's not how it works. Unless you're a missionary planting the church, In which case, you're still called to another pastor who sent you out. You're called to a specific pastor. And that's your call. So people need to identify who this person is. Often you'll know it because he's the one that gives you a feast. Right? And you recognize it. The Holy Spirit will witness that in your heart. So, women, ladies, what do you like? Let's talk about men. Men are interesting characters. The number one problem that men tend to have is insecurity. Most men, particularly young men, are insecure. The second biggest problem most young men have is lust after women. So you have a guy who's insecure and a guy who's lustful. That's not a guy you want to get involved with. This is simply because of youth. It's not because they still need to grow. They have a flesh, they have an old sin nature, just like you have a flesh and you have an old sin nature. And we've already discussed women in this regard, so I'm not going to rehash that. You can download it from the internet if you want to hear that again. But you have a sin nature and you have issues in your life, and you have a history of whatever, right, wrong decisions, doesn't matter. You know, you have all this history. Men tend to have a history where they are very aggressive toward women in as much as their desire, and that's because they have a lot of testosterone. And that's one of the things that testosterone does to the psyche. If the psyche is not being checked by the Word of God's application through the Holy Spirit, that man's going to live in lust. 99 times out of 100, that man's going to have lust issues. Now, that can be checked, and certainly as he matures in the Lord, it should be checked. It does get checked in most godly men's cases. And later on in life, the issue is no longer an issue. He's grown out of it in most cases, if he's a godly man. Now, ladies, you want to be careful because men do have this issue. Some young men know how to play women. They know exactly the buttons to push. They can sense it. They know exactly what will elicit certain responses in her. And if she is a wanting young woman, she'll fall for this. She'll want to fall for it, although she would never say she wants to fall for it. She'd want to fall for it. So there are young men who know how to press the right buttons. It is a fact. Ladies, be careful about guys who know how to press buttons. Why? Because you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. A young man must learn to be a gentleman. Being a gentleman is not a social thing. Being a gentleman is an issue of the heart before God. And the young man may not know that it's perhaps proper to open the doors for a young lady, but he has the heart of a gentleman. And the things that he doesn't know, he's willing to learn. A young man should never pursue a woman if God has said nothing to him. However, he must respect the fact that she is a believer priest and must hear from God on her own. And if he knows that God has called him to her, then he has to wait if she hasn't heard anything. And maybe God has called him to her, or maybe he was mistaken. And we have all certainly been in places where we have mistaken. It doesn't make him an evil young man. It doesn't make him wicked. And it doesn't make him bad in any way. It just means that he made a mistake. Tell me one person. You see, this is the one thing about young women. Young women, if they are not spirit-filled, can be extremely judgmental toward men. And they can be very unforgiving towards them. There's an element of pride that can go into young women's hearts where they get angry and they get unkind for things that they have done, in fact, themselves. But there's this self-righteous thing that can run through, you know, it can run through anybody, but it can run in this context through young women that makes them very unkind. If the young man makes a mistake, says, "I made a mistake," then forgive him. Why? Because you've made your own mistakes. And you needed the same forgiveness he needs. Now, sometimes, though, he'll be right. And if she has not heard anything, then it means that the time is not right. And he has to wait for her. Let's put it like this. Young ladies, don't settle. Don't settle. Men must learn how to be right before God towards women. Plain and simple. Women are different than we are. We say we recognize that, but we don't. Men have to be careful to treat women like ladies. You never say to a woman, for example, and I know sometimes guys, I've heard guys do this in jest, and it's an unwise jest.
Yeah, barefoot pregnant in the kitchen kind of a deal.
It's foolish. You're crushing her capacity. You never do that. You never do that. Ladies, if a guy ever does that to her, you go right up to him and you slap him. I'm serious. I'm absolutely serious.
Make me a sandwich, woman.
Absolutely. Leave a nice big red welt. So make your own sandwich.
It's a woman.
But there are guys who would do that. Even Christian guys. There's Christian guys who would do that. And you know what? They're absolutely wrong. Absolutely wrong. You do not treat a woman that way. Women are precious. I don't care if there's a relationship with them or not. Women are precious. God made them specifically because the man had need of them. But guys will often mistreat them because of ego. Or sometimes it's just because of jest. But it's an unwise jest. It's foolish jesting. Ladies, don't ever let guys treat you like that. Not even as a joke. Because you have been designed by God in a specific way. And that's not the design. So never should a woman be ever treated like that. If a young man wants to treat you that way, slap him. He should be. Okay? And what you'll do is you'll teach him something very valuable. You won't kill him. You'll have taught him something very valuable. So don't hesitate. You slap him. A man should always treat you like you are precious. If a man becomes abusive toward you, you don't want anything to do with him. Here's the problem. Sometimes they can change, but sometimes leopards don't change their spots. And so it is possible that God can transform him, but it's possible that he won't. And it largely depends on his own heart. But so long as he is that way, have nothing to do with him. Ladies, you are not to be abused. You're not to be abused physically, obviously. you are not to be abused emotionally, and you are not to be abused verbally. Why? Because, here's the thing, men, by their very design, have the ability to take authority over a woman. And if the woman allows him to, in the wrong context, then she can get into serious trouble. A young woman who is single is under the authority of her pastor. No matter what church she is called to, a single young woman is under the authority of her pastor. A girl who lives at home, who is not yet adult, is under the authority of her father. And so long as, even if she is an adult young woman, if she lives at home, then she is under the authority of the household, but not under the spiritual headship so much. So the household can provide an authority, and the husband is the head of the home, the father. And so in that respect, she is still under his authority. But as an adult woman, she falls under the authority of her pastor. And that is her spiritual covering. Now, she takes things to her pastor. However, when she is married, then she is covered by her husband, but she does not lose her relationship to her pastor. The pastor does not replace the husband, nor does the husband replace the pastor. In a healthy relationship, the husband and wife both together are properly submitted to the pulpit that they are called to the pastor's office. And there is no conflict there, because the young man must also be properly submitted to his pastor. Ladies, if there is a young man who is not properly submitted to his pastor, he's not for you. Likewise, guys, if a young woman is not properly submitted to her pastor, she's not for you. Why? Because there is an order and a covering. She may be afraid of her pastor, or he may be afraid of his pastor, but if the pastor is a godly pastor, he's not going to lord it over either one of them. So it's possible that either one may be afraid, well, what if the pastor says whatever? The pastor, if he is a godly pastor, he will not lord it over them. That's not the pastor's job. The pastor will not lord it over them. But they are submitted to his pulpit, not so much to the man, but to the office. As a young woman, I'm a believer priest. I'm not submitted to the pastor in such a way that I would have to go to him with everything. No, you're a believer priest, and guys, you guys are believer priests. That's on the one hand. But on the other hand, if I'm making a decision that's going to have significant impact on my life, I would be very wise to consult with him, because he is looking out for my soul. Ladies, if the young man is not properly submitted to the pulpit where he is called, or if he is careless about the pulpit where he is called, not the man you want to be involved with. Now, I can't tell you which man is right. And the definition that I'm giving you is not going to tell you which man is right. It can tell you which man is wrong. Only God can tell you which man is right. But I will tell you one thing. God is not going to send you a lemon. I don't care what the young man thinks. She's a believer priest. That's the end of the story. And he must know how to treat you properly. And if he doesn't, show him the door. simple as that. Ladies, don't ever become sentimental towards him, in as much as getting this, and some women have this awe thing, oh, but I feel bad for him now. Don't feel bad for him. If you're not called to be his wife, you're not called to be his wife. You don't go into marriage because of sentimentality. Why? Because you're another man's wife. You understand that? I don't care if he wants you. If that's not the call, you're another man's wife. Don't cheat on your husband. Guys, likewise for you. Just because the girl is good looking or has a nice personality does not make her your wife. And you don't go after her, she's another man's wife. Ladies, maybe you already talked about marriage to him and then you found out it was a mistake. Don't be sentimental in your mistake. Don't be unkind to him in as much as, okay, fine, he says I made a mistake or she says I made a mistake. Okay, fine, forgive the mistake. Who cares? People make mistakes. Who cares? We've all made our share of mistakes of one sort or another. So forgive the mistake. But recognize it for what it was. It was a mistake. And go on. Just go on. On the other hand, God may not give you Prince Charming. Boaz was not Ruth's Prince Charming. I think that's a great example of sovereignty in relationships. Boaz was not Ruth's Prince Charming, but he was God's man for Ruth. Isaac was not Rachel's Prince Charming, but he was God's man for Rachel. He might, I'm sure Joseph was Mary's Prince Charming, and he was God's man for Mary. But Prince Charming is not the deciding factor. God's call is the deciding factor. Gentlemen, same goes for you. You may not get the girl of your dreams. By the way, the girl and the guy of your dreams don't actually exist except in a dream. That's when your eyes are closed and your conscious mind is turned off. They only exist in a dream. Now, guys are not perfect. You have to feed us and you have to wash us. So train them to wash themselves. Guys are not perfect, so ladies, don't look for perfection in a man either. Sometimes women can do that. Women can say, oh, he's not just so, I'm not interested. The qualifier is not being just so, the qualifier is God's call. Okay, that's the qualifier. Now, women have a harder time with relationships, generally speaking, than men. Why? Because they're made to be responders. Their nature is to be constantly desiring of their husband. That's the way God made it. But remember something, ladies. It is of their husband, it's not of a husband. A young woman who desires a husband for the sake of a husband has no idea what marriage is. That young woman may be entering into idolatry. And I will guarantee you that if that is the reason why a young woman gets married, it's not going to be a marriage. It's possible to have the ring on your finger and the I do's being said and the license signed and no marriage taking place. That's not what you want. Ladies, never marry a man who is insecure, who is selfish or self-centered. Never marry a man whose ego is greater than his love for God and his love for you. Never marry a man who's marrying you out of ego. We have pretty girls in our church. It is very possible that some of the girls in our church, I don't think it's just possible, I think it's highly likely, will have guys going for them just because they're pretty girls. Ladies, you do not want that kind of attention. Never marry a man because he's willing to pay attention to you. Because realize something to you. He's paying attention to you perhaps right now because he wants something from you. As soon as he has what he wants, he'll pay attention elsewhere. And I'm not saying that he'll be adulterous or anything like that. I'm just saying the attention will go to something else. Maybe his job, maybe the football game, whatever. But it won't be with you. However, ladies, also realize something, that a man does have a call on his life. And if you are married to a man, particularly if you're married to a pastor, you're sharing him. And that's a part of the call. It's one of the things I think that's hardest for pastors' wives, is that they have to share their husband with essentially everyone. So he has to make sure that he has some time, and a godly husband will do this. Even though he's a pastor, he's got to make sure he's got some time with his wife. It may not be a great deal of time, but there should be some time. So maybe they have dinner together every day. And they have an appointment to spend some time over dinner with each other. Or something to that effect. Ladies, if you do get called to marry a pastor, you're marrying someone that you don't own. You're marrying someone you don't own anyway. And guys, anyone marries. You don't own your spouse. God owns your spouse. If you are in fact called to marry a pastor, you'll be sharing him. You've got to be aware of that. If that's not something you can do, then perhaps you're not called to marry a pastor. But if it is something you can do, and if you are called, then you can be a really integral and vital portion of that pastor's ministry. It is possible for a pastor, I don't know why I'm bringing this up, it's just on my heart. It is possible for a pastor to come home and have another ministry. Or it is possible for the pastor to come home and have a rich, vibrant relationship that's a resting place. Likewise, it is possible for a woman who is married to a pastor to be one who's suffering loss because of his pastor's call. Or she can be one with her husband's call, and as he goes into the ministry, she goes with him, and the ministry of her husband becomes stronger because it's also the ministry of the wife. However, she cannot be the pastor, but she is the pastor's wife. And that role in and of itself is a tremendous call. In some respects, it reminds me of like when you see a president and the first lady. Okay? There are first ladies who just kind of hid in the White House and you never saw them. And that's fine. It's their business. There are first ladies who took on being a first lady and turned it into a mission. And some of those first ladies were profoundly effective first ladies. Whether you agree with what she did or not, Eleanor Roosevelt was a lady like that. Right? She was not a stay-at-home first lady. Now, we're going to say a couple of things, and there are people on the internet who may not like this. But the woman was made for the man, not the other way around. He is not her helpmeet. She is his. He, on the other hand, is her covering. In other words, they both have a unique role within the marriage. However, she cannot expect him to take her role, and he cannot expect her to take his. In other words, a woman, albeit her opinion and her concerns must be considered carefully, ultimately the decisions in the family belong to the husband. Now, I am talking about situations where the husband is spirit-filled. I'm not talking about carnal men. If the man is carnal, then that woman needs to stand before God and learn from God how to have a ministry, unfortunately, towards the man. Now, it is possible for a marriage to be a rich fellowship. It's also possible for a marriage to be a ministry. It's also possible for a marriage to be very naturally minded, and you have soul power relationship with the other person simply on the basis of things like personality. You don't want those. What you want is a marriage where you have a rich fellowship. Now, that doesn't mean you have to talk Bible all day, but there will be times when you spend talking Bible just because you love to. You want a marriage where you're going to laugh a lot. By the way, both genders, good looks last 5 minutes. And I'm not saying the other person loses their looks. I'm saying you won't see them anymore. Good looks last 5 minutes. And then, you may have the most beautiful woman or the most handsome man in the world, but if the heart is wrong, the attraction is not going to be present. And I don't mean the attraction toward them as a human. I mean they won't be so pretty or they won't be so handsome in your eyes. Never, ever consider someone on the basis of appearances. Jezebel was gorgeous. Saul was amazingly handsome. Both of them were devastatingly wrong with God. Be careful about how you pick people. Ladies, never marry a man who loves you more than God. Why? He's going to look for you to do the things that only God can do. And if he does that, you cannot win. It will be a brutal relationship. Marry a man who loves God more than you, and you more than himself. Don't marry a man you can't submit to. If there is a man and his character or his life with God or whatever is such that you don't feel safe submitting to him, he's not the right man. You see, this sounds rather difficult, doesn't it? In some respects. But in some respects, it can be extremely easy. Depends how you look at it. What do you want, ladies? If you want God first and foremost, then And although it is completely natural to want to be married, it will not be difficult to wait for God's choices. However, if you are wanting, then waiting will be extremely difficult. But I'll tell you right now, if you are wanting, you are not ready. If the man is such that he cannot wait for you, then let him find somebody else that he doesn't have to wait for. When you get into relationships, and you guys know this, when you get the call to be married and you start, because you are engaged, spending time together, you absolutely practice no-touch love. And usually it will be the man who tries to initiate, if anybody does. 9 times out of 10, it'll be the man who tries to initiate physical relationship in the wrong context. Do not let that happen. Absolutely do not let that happen. If he is a man of God, if he is mature, he won't want to. He'll desire you because you are going to be his wife. But his desire will be tempered by his love for God and the fact that he has conviction in the Holy Spirit as it's brought on by the Word of God. But don't ever, just because you are engaged, start to compromise your convictions about no-touch love. Now, it may be that he has a moment of weakness and you are truly meant to be engaged. In that case, he needs to get right and you need to forgive him. However, there are some times when the woman initiates physical contact and she actually seduces him. And they are already engaged and meant to be married, and she seduces him into a physical relationship apart from marriage. Don't do that, ladies. You have crushed something in yourselves that you will not get back. You don't want to lose what is holy. The physical expression of love in a marriage can only take place in a marriage. Otherwise, it's not a physical expression of love. It's interesting about how that works. The same expression physically has two very different meanings. And so you want love in your marriage. And so that physical expression of love has to be in the context of marriage, not until after I do. And that's the way it is. So you don't kiss, you don't sleep together, you don't cuddle, you don't pet. No, purity. Keep it pure. Ladies, don't let him take away the purity from the relationship. And by the way, even though he is engaged to you, if you say no and he can't respect it, first of all, you shouldn't be trying, but maybe he had a moment of weakness and failed in that moment of weakness, and it's still the plan of God. But if you say no in his moment of weakness and he can't respect it, get away from him. And you do not stay in the relationship. Now, here is one that people won't necessarily like. If you had agreed to be married and you realize it's a mistake, you never stay in bondage to a mistake. Never. there may be an element of manipulation where in that bondage, the bondage is actually manipulative. In other words, you say, well, I said I would, but now you know it's not right. If you find out that you made a mistake, then chalk it up to a mistake. And yeah, it may hurt for a little while. It may hurt both parties for a little while. But a mistake is a mistake. And it's no more and no less. If you made a mistake, chalk it up to a mistake. And just carry on. But you don't make a mistake and then add another mistake by going through with the first mistake. That's not wisdom. That's actually leaving the will of God in a self-defined commitment rather than having a commitment to the Savior and His will for your life. On the other hand, if God does call you to be married to someone and He speaks to you clearly, because He will speak to you, if that happens, don't be so insecure about your own ability or your own place or your own position or whatever that you would not be willing to marry somebody. However, this is a biggie. Pay careful attention to this one. This goes for both genders. Never marry someone who is immature. Never marry someone who is immature. Why? You'll be raising them. And the last thing that, ladies, you need is to be your husband's mother. And guys, the last thing that you need is to be your wife's daddy. You'll be raising them. Marry people who are mature in the Lord. I think a lot of people get married too early. And it's not my place to judge their relationships because sometimes that is the will of God. God is sovereign. But there are people who get married just plain old too early. You shouldn't do it. God has timing that is perfect also. And so you not only seek the person, you seek the timing. Let's talk a little bit about what happens when there's a divorce. Extremely unfortunate. Very common. Or, for that matter, if there's a death. And now there's somebody who was once married and is no longer married. By the way, ladies, marry men who are men. Not men who have egos. You see, in today's culture, there's a mentality that ego makes the man. Ego makes the boy. It doesn't make a man. Humility before God makes a man. So if a guy has an ego, ladies, he's not for you. If he is abusive towards you while you're courting, he's going to be 10 times that much after you're married. That's where battered wives come from. He will say what he needs to say, but he'll show the signs of abuse. Never marry a young man who shows signs of being abusive. That's a man who's not only not in love with you, that's a man who's being demonically influenced. If you find that a young man after you've gotten into a relationship with him, perhaps agreed to marry him, and that's the only kind of context you should be in a relationship with. If you find that he is something, let's say like a drug addict or an alcoholic, don't marry him until he is completely right with God. Or in pornography, don't marry him until he is completely right with God. And I'll tell you right now, in that type of a situation, if you are truly meant to be married, you're going to be waiting a while. Because in 2 months, you will not know. 5 years will tell you. But 2 months will not. Be very careful about that. If somebody has gotten themselves into that, guys, guard your eyes. And I know that you do. Don't misunderstand me. But you're on the internet and you do a Google search and all of a sudden this weird thing pops up in front of you and you had no idea it was coming. The first glance is you're human. You have eyesight there. You can do nothing about it. But the trouble is at the second glance. That's when the problem starts, is the second glance. Be careful. Pornography destroys capacity for healthy relationships. And a guy who's into pornography, and women too, 1/3 of all pornography is used by women. A guy who is into pornography is a guy who's destroyed his relationship to have a healthy mindset and approach toward a woman. Likewise, a woman who is into pornography has destroyed her capacity to have a healthy mindset and approach toward a man. Pornography is one of the things that will destroy your capacity and destroy your soul faster than anything else. It is brutal. In its destructive nature. If you find that a guy that you're engaged to is into pornography, break it off right there and then. Why? He can't relate to you. He's not able. He doesn't have the capacity. Now, if in your heart you feel that that is the guy you should be married to, you're going to be awaiting a while. And that's between you and God. But you're going to be waiting a while. Because the last thing you want is a guy living out pornographic fantasies on you. It's brutal. It is brutal. And unfortunately, it's all too often that that happens. If you are into pornography, you are being demonically influenced. And demons are running your life. Get away from it as fast as you can. And never look at it again. And not only don't look at it again, don't get yourself into a situation where the temptation would be available. If you have an issue with magazines, you get rid of the magazines and you don't go to the magazine store. If you have an issue with the computer, throw out the computer. And if you can't throw out the computer for whatever reason, put it in a place where everybody sees what you're doing. But that's hard. That's hard. Because pornography will utterly destroy you. Nothing is as addictive as pornography. Maybe heroin is. But nothing is as addictive as pornography. And it goes right to the soul. It doesn't filter. And there are demons attached to it. Anything that has that kind of a grip on you has it because it doesn't filter. And people who are into pornography, they do it once, and just like heroin, they want it again. Watch out for that one, ladies. Because I'll tell you right now, that's going to be a brutal problem. Any guys listening on the internet, if you are into pornography, you need to get some serious counsel if you can't break it off right there and then. Because that is going to destroy your life. Ladies, when you consider whether a man should be your husband, think clearly with doctrine. Think clearly with doctrine. Don't think with your emotions, and don't think with the fact that it's natural for you to want to be married, it's natural for you to want to have children. Some women don't, and that's fine. But it's natural for you to want those things. But you don't get ruled by that which is natural. It's not good. Now let's say, and this can happen, that sometime down the road, God calls you to marry someone, or you feel like, you know, this is something you want to pray about, whether God would have this in your life, and the person is divorced. Or maybe the person is a widower, or a widow. What do you do with that one? Well, there are some churches who would say to you, you cannot marry a divorced person. But that's not finished work. You may be called to marry a divorced person because God has utterly and completely removed the mistake. And sometimes it's not their mistake. Sometimes it's the mistake of the other party, and this one was the innocent victim in it. Why did Jesus say people could get divorced? He gave a specific, but he gave a reason. He said, because of adultery, in adultery you can be divorced, but why? Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Now, let's apply this. And this is in no way giving green light to divorce. But God would not have people in bondage. So if one person in the marriage absolutely refuses to remain in the marriage, God will not hold the other in bondage. Is it okay to marry someone who's divorced? Yes. As long as they are a born-again believer and you are called into it and you share a calling, then it's you can do that. It is possible that that is what God would have for you. However, as people who, and you guys have not been married, as people who have not been married, you're going to be marrying, if that happens to you, somebody who has been married. And that in and of itself can pose some challenges in both directions. You see, the person who has been married knows what it is to be married. Especially if at least for a season, or maybe if they lost their spouse, and there were no mistakes of that sort, that person knows what it's like to be married. And maybe they know what it's like to have a healthy marriage, and maybe there's a lot of growth that they've gone through because they were in marriage that you may not have gone through. So for that person, it may actually be a bit of a challenge to marry you. We don't usually think of it this way because we kind of think of a self way. Well, what do I want? And that does have some place in certain contexts. So if it should happen that you are called to marry somebody who has been married and for whatever reason is not, realize something. They've been through things that you haven't been through. Either they experienced the heartbreak of loss, or they experienced the heartbreak of another type of loss. That's something you're going to have to deal with. And you're going to be involved with somebody and married to somebody who has had life experiences that you have never had. Can you deal with that? Well, if you're called, then God will give you the grace to deal with it. By the way, and I'm assuming, and I completely believe this in my heart, that all our young people are pure and have never had sex before. If you're going to be married to someone who has been married, and even though they may have been completely pure in it, they have had sex before, is that going to be a problem for you? Well, I can tell you right now that if that is your call, then that person will not, and this is where I think some people would get nervous, that person will not be comparing you to somebody else that they were married to before. That's not how sex works. The proper expression of a sexual relationship, it's love. It's an expression of love, not of craving. And so there is no comparison, because the frame of reference is not selfish in nature. If you are called, God will give you the grace. If you're not called, then you won't have it. What I'm saying is you don't necessarily get who you imagined you would when you were 13. People are human. People are human. And so the illusions that we give ourselves sometimes as young people are not reality. But fortunately, the reality can be better than the illusion if it is done correctly. Ladies, don't even think about it unless you know you're called. And I don't care what the guy says to you, you need to know you're called. Now, if he simply says to you, I believe this is what I heard, he shouldn't say that to you unless it's obvious to him, to both of you, that you have both heard it. Now, if he says to you, I believe this is what I heard, and he asks you to pray, then he's not trying to do it wrong. Maybe right, maybe wrong, but he's not trying to do it wrong. But if he says to you, this is what I heard, you have to marry me, show him the door. Because if it is true, God will speak to you. God does not esteem the woman as less than the man. And God does not esteem the man as less than the woman. Marry a man who is a man of God, and only the man that God brings to you. No other man. There are things that are very easy to recognize that says the man is not it or the time is not right. And if those things are present, don't go there. Do not go there. Too many women love the idea without knowing what it is. They love an idea, but they marry a man, a human being. So no matter how much they love the idea, what they're going to get is the person they've married. And that person may not be their idea. And frequently, if a woman enters into a relationship in that way, he isn't.